third grade, my first play. Things were really bad with my parents. They're not separated yet, but they were, like, fighting. So I guess this is the third grade. This is the end of it, really. I got asked to do the Little Red Riding Hood, and I got cast as the Big Bad Wolf. We're going through rehearsal, and I'm realizing that I can't really read. I'm far behind most of the kids in the class, and it's because my parents, and it's because I'm staying up and they're fighting, and it's because I've gone to three different schools in 1 year. And then RTA helps me, and I learn my lines, and I fucking just put on my little wolf costume, and I became somebody else. I didn't want to cry. I wasn't afraid. I was the Big Bad Wolf. And I look out, and our first performance was for friends and family, and I look at all these people, and, you know, and they're clapping, and my parents are sitting next to each other, and they're not fighting. And I was like, this is how I'm going to fucking change the world.
This is The Competition. I'm James Kim.
And I'm Elissa Dudley. In the lead up to the competition, we're going to introduce you to some of the men vying for the title of Mr. Los Angeles Leather 2018.
But first up is Spike, who won the title of Mr. Precinct to get here.
Yeah, and this is where I feel like we should explain a little that it's kind of like Miss America, where all the women had to win their state to compete. All the men competing in Mr. LA Leather had to win a title at their local bar or club to qualify.
Exactly. And Spike, if you can recall, is the contestant who said that he can kick your ass and do your makeup at the same time.
Yeah, he's been wearing bright red lipstick at all of the Leather Week events.
Yeah, and rocking this awesome mohawk. But before he was this punk rock, in-your-face badass, he went through some growing pains when he was a little kid.
I was kind of the geek nerd in elementary school. I wanted to leave the house in a crop top neon shirt and these little tiny Daisy Duke shorts with cowboy boots. And my mom's like, no, son, you can't go to school this way. And I would get so upset. But then I went to school and I realized why I couldn't wear these things. Growing up in the ghetto, you can't be effeminate, so I had to be very butch. I grew up in Norwalk, California. It's a small little town. It's changed a lot. I haven't been there since 2005 when I graduated high school. I like to call it an insta-ghetto. Like, there's a couple blocks that are nice, and there's a couple blocks you don't want to walk down. When I lived there and was going to school, it was very much gang territory. So, you know, there were gangs and shootings. And I lived in a section that was filled with gangs. Like, one of my babysitter's husband was, like, you know, super into the gang, and, you know, I had protection because I lived in that hood, and, you know, it's really scary, but it was nature. That was home. My father's father was a boot black, which is someone who polishes boots in Mexico, and my dad did that as a child. And my parents were split up for most of my life. I just lived with my mom, and I would spend weekends with my father. And when I went to my dad's house, I had to dress a certain way. Your hair had to be slicked back. You had to have a button-up shirt with a tie or a bolo with, you know, some pants and a belt and a buckle and cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. And it was a uniform for the weekend, you know. So I had my clothes I would wear at my dad's house, and then I'd come home and unslick my hair and rat it up and put it up into, you know, like some Robert Smith hair and put on eyeliner and wear all black and paint my nails. But on the weekends, when I went with him, it was very different. I had to show up at my dad's house with polished boots. If not, it was like, not okay. He'd be very upset.
Eesh, his dad sounds super strict.
Yeah. Spike was actually kind of afraid of him. And he had good reason to be. His dad would physically abuse him and yell at him, but it was a complicated relationship because Spike had some good memories too, like the first time they shined boots together when Spike was 5.
I'm about eye level with these boots that go up to, like, you know, right below the knee on him, and they're dirty. They have dirt on them. There's a couple cracks. Brings out this little box and sets it down and puts on an apron and kind of like has a little bench and kneels down and sits down and then puts his hands inside the boots and starts to oil them up and, you know, grease them out. You can see the ash building up on the end of his cigarette because he was too preoccupied with shining the boot and not smoking the cigarette. It was just amazing. It was amazing. And that, at that point, I think I respected my father. So it was admirable, and I thought it was very important. I think that's also like one of the memories I hold near and dear, because I feel like that was like the last time I looked at him with respect and I wasn't afraid.
So fast forward a few years later, Spike is in his teens, he's listening to punk rock, and he's had enough of his dad's rules and abuse.
So one day I decided I don't want to pretend anymore. So when he came to pick me up, I came out in tight pants, tucked into combat boots, in a cutoff t-shirt with my eyeliner and my mohawk. And I was like, this is me. I'm going to your house this weekend like this. And he hit me. And I stood up and I said, hit me again. And he hit me. And I stood up and I said, hit me again. And then I hit him back. And I said, that's the last fucking time you're ever going to touch me. And I flourished. I became myself and I wasn't afraid of being myself anymore. I moved away from home. I went to Hollywood. I went to school to act, and I never looked back.
Spike moved into an apartment in LA, and he was living that typical LA life. I mean, he was going to an acting school and was working at a coffee shop. And it was there where he finally felt like he fit in.
It was like a really special place in Hollywood. And these really cool fucking people would come in dressed all in black and dressed in leather. And they were like men and women. And like, I made friends with one of them. They're like, well, come, you know, we'll put you on this guest list for this club called Club Hell. It was right around the corner. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I put on my like dark leather gear and I went in, and it was just like beautiful. All these people, men and women, straight, gay, bisexuals, everyone's like expressing themselves, dressed in leather, dressed in chaps, people on chains, people on collars, like people being flogged and people screaming. And I was like, wow, I'm so terrified, but I'm so turned on at the same time, and I have no idea what to do with myself. And I was approached by a tall, beautiful woman, and we just started talking. Before I knew it, I was at her home and I was on my knees and she was whipping me, you know, and I got off on submitting to someone, submitting to a woman who was wearing these tall, giant heels and just being a powerful woman, you know. So we became a troop, you know, Miss Joy and the Malicious Kittens. You know, we'd wear little leather ears and little leather tails and fangs and leather stuff, and she'd whip us on stage and we'd run around like we were big bad kitties, and then she'd throw us into a tub, you know, and covers and whipped cream, and all the other kitties would lick it all off of me. So it was a performance.
So I didn't really know that a straight leather world really existed, or I just wasn't really aware of it.
Yeah.
Let alone this performance aspect of things.
Yeah, it sounds very artsy.
Yeah. But after Spike spent enough time in the straight leather world, he started getting curious about what else was out there.
I looked up Tom of Finland and learning the history and the motorcycle gangs and, you know, the satyrs who had been around forever and, you know, the brotherhood, you know, like, it fascinated me. And then really doing your homework and realizing that what I was doing was performance, and other people did this for a living. This is part of their life.
Do you remember the first time when you stepped into like a queer leather event or bar?
I can't. I was recently 21. I still had a girlfriend and I had a boy on the side that we were just kind of like, you know, messing around. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to go to this gay bar down the street. And I walked like a mile to the gay bar, and it was the Fault Line. And I remember just like seeing pictures of like all the Tom of Finland stuff and like people blowing each other and like people drinking and smoking and hanging out and like playing pool, and kind of like that first time I stepped foot into the fetish club, I was like, my heart's beating fast and I'm kind of scared, but I'm kind of turned on at the same time, you know. And I got hit on, you know, and I made out with a man, not someone my own age, and that was also very sexy. I was like, well, here I am 21 years old, barely, you know, making out with a 55-year-old man who's buff and big and huge and bigger than me. And I'm scared, but I'm turned on. But also in my head, I feel like I'm bigger than him. You know what I mean? Like, there's all these kinds of thoughts. And I started going every weekend.
So Spike used to mainly date women until he discovered the leather scene. And then he started to exclusively date men. And eventually he found his partner that he's been with for several years, Philip. But they're not into monogamy.
If I want to bring someone home, I make the rules, you know what I mean? We play safe. And everything is with consent. You know, it's sexual freedom. It's sexual positivity. It's being a whore without being called a whore because it's not wrong, you know? I'm not saying I'm fucking everybody every 2 days, you know what I mean? But I'm expressing myself in a sexual way. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful to be taught and teaching someone that they never knew that they liked to spit in other people's mouths, or they didn't know that, you know, they liked the smell of a stinky man, or they didn't know they liked to be spanked, or, you know, get their toes sucked, or whatever the case may be. You know, learning about yourself through somebody else is important, I think.
Everything in his life was coming together. He's got a boyfriend. He's finally living his true self. But there was one part of his life where he was still struggling.
I was kind of going through a rough time, I think. You know, I'm working a job. I'm 31. You know, I thought at 31 I would have been this great actor. You know, like, I've had billboards. I've had, you know, guest spots. I've had commercials. I've, you know, you name it. You know, I've done it. But it comes and goes. So being a 31-year-old living paycheck to paycheck in North Hollywood with rents going up and people are moving to LA, I was kind of super depressed. You know, I'm like, I wear dresses and like I'm wearing makeup and I work at a bar and like I do drag shows and I get tipped spots and like, you know, I was in a magazine 2 months ago and now I'm not. Like, you know, you kind of get down on your, like, what am I doing with my life really?
And things suddenly changed for Spike when one of his friends suggested that he enter a leather competition.
I didn't really have any interest in running for a competition because competitions aren't my thing. I don't feel like after the life I've lived, I have to prove myself to anybody. But Fifi, the former Mr. Precinct 2017, was like, hey, you're a performer. You have this background in leather. You know, you're a trained dom. Like, this is part of your life. You've had a boy. You have a partner. You guys are open. You're sexually free. Like, come do this. And Precinct is a very diverse bar, so what we're trying to do is bring that diversity to the culture. I'm like, well, fuck. Turned to my partner and I'm like, what do you think? And he's like, well, fuck it, just do it. Like, why not? So I did it. And then I won. And I was like, oh shit. And then I met a bunch of brothers and they're like standing around me with all their hands on me and they're doing, it's called the spider web. It's like whenever someone, they put your hands on you and they're like, ooh-ah! And you can feel everyone's voices vibrating through your body. And I was standing around and there's all these men loving me, you know, and hugging me and telling me that, you know, I'm doing something already. And I did not even knowing that I'm doing something. I was just being myself in a leather competition. You know, I'd never really known about the leather competitions, really. And then it got real. And then I realized what I was doing and what I stood for and what I stand for and what I want to change and how, you know, Fifi, Mr. Precinct Leather 2017, he ran out of dress and pissed a lot of fucking people off. There was people saying, like, a man in a dress has no place in the leather community, and I think that's wrong. Society has told you that you can't do something for so long, and then realizing that I'm my own person and no one can fucking tell me what to do anymore, you know? So I just started pushing it and pushing it hard, you know? I wear skirts with t-shirts. I wear overalls with high heels, you know? Just whatever I feel like wearing that day is the way I do it. And sometimes I feel like wearing a dress, and sometimes I feel like wearing high heels, and sometimes I feel like wearing combat boots and shorts. Like, they're all just different forms of my expression. And sometimes people are gonna point fingers and say things, but if they listen and if you talk, you can change their mind.
So will Spike take the title of Mr. LA Leather 2018? Possibly in high heels and lipstick?
Yeah, it's kind of a gamble. Like, he knows that last year someone took a lot of flack for wearing a dress in this competition.
Yeah, but maybe people are ready for a change.
Well, either way, he's got to beat out 10 other competitors to win. One of them being Jose.
You can prepare all you want, but once you're on stage and you have everybody looking at you and you have a mic in front of you, it's completely different.
More from Jose next week. Competition is hosted by me, James Kim.
And me, Alyssa Dudley.
Our editor is Cameron Kell,
who also did the music, along with this guy, James Kim, and Ryo Baum.
And our theme music is by Andrew Eben.
You can find the competition on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Until next time.